Okay, here we go. So today we'll continue our teaching on spiritual blessings. Last time I was here, we kind of did our introduction to spiritual blessings. We look at the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ that God has given us through Jesus. And so today we'll look at one that Paul lists here in the book of Ephesians. As I mentioned before, if we want to list all of the spiritual blessings, it would go on forever and ever. But Paul lists a couple here that we're going to really pay attention to. And so today we'll take a look at the first one in verse 4, which deals with our sanctification. Deals with our sanctification, holiness and blameless before God. Deals with our right standing, our sanctification before God. And so that'll be the focus today. Spiritual blessings of sanctification. And for those who don't know, matter of fact, let's pray and then we'll get in here. Heavenly Father, you are so good. You are so mighty, God. You have blessed my heart, Lord, through this tough week. God, it was you. It was all you. It was all your word, God. It was all your promises, Lord God, that has turned my mourning into a smile, into rejoicing, God. I pray, Lord, that you take this word as well, God, and put it on the hearts of my brothers and sisters here, God. Bring them closer to the glories of who you are, God. May they leave here, God, praising your name, God, for your sanctification that comes through Jesus Christ, Lord. Glorify yourself through your word, God. Whatever I do not make clear, Lord God, I pray that throughout the weeks, Lord God, that you minister and you sow that seed into the heart of my brother and sister, that they get it and that they rejoice in your truth, Lord. You are mighty. You are wonderful, God. Do the work that you've done in me as I looked at your text or studied your text. This is our prayer, God. Will you hear our prayer, Lord? Amen. So let me get this up. So as I mentioned, we're going to be discussing sanctification. And just for definition purposes, sanctification is the process, if you will, where God goes and he makes something that is uncommon, generally a person, someone who is unclean, holy. And even in the Old Testament, God would sanctify objects. So you had the tent of meetings. Remember the tent that would move around? And inside the tent of meetings, you would have a table and you would have a lampstand, and all of those things were anointed and they were sanctified, meaning they were set apart for service unto God. So that is what sanctification is. It's the process of God making something common or unclean clean, and that thing is now set apart for service unto God. That is our sanctification. And just like the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God is right now, or it's already but not yet, so too is our sanctification. Because we know the kingdom of God has broken in, right? Jesus is king. We are citizens of that kingdom of God. We have seen the kingdom of God's power, but the kingdom of God has not come in full fruition, right? It has not come to completeness. The kingdom of God, as theologians would say, is already but not yet. There's part that is here, there's part that is coming. And that is the same thing with our sanctification. It is already and it's not yet. In some ways, it is totally fulfilled and satisfied through Christ. In the other way, it's also a process that we are going through, progressive sanctification. So our sanctification is, again, already but not yet. So just a little outline today on where we're going. We're going to look at the already of our sanctification. We're going to look at the not yet of our sanctification. Then we're going to draw out just a few applications, and from there we will go and pray verses 1 through 4 together as a church. So it's not major. A lot of topics want to hit. But I do want to warn you. Oh, no, this is where I didn't realize. All right. That tablet's time out. My screen just went black on me. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even think about that. This is not going to be good. Let me. This is so bad. I'm sorry. Let me do this. All right. I guess I'm gonna have to tap it every time it goes black or something. Oh my goodness. I was trying to. I didn't think about this before I came. Sorry, you guys. All right, let's just go ahead. I'll try to get by. If not, I'll just tap it and have to figure out something. Okay. Okay, so we'll just go ahead. So let's read the scripture, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse, we're going to just look at verses 1 through 4. I know we already went through 1 through 3, and our text today is verse 4, but we'll just read it all over again. So the word of God reads, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him when, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Some of your texts may even say before him in love. Different translations, but mine's ends with before him. So we're going to stop there at verse 4. If you remember a couple weeks ago, as I mentioned earlier, we did our introduction again to spiritual blessings, and we looked at how Paul here in verse 3 was listing, or he was giving the Ephesians reason to praise God. That's what he was doing. He was giving the Ephesians the reason to praise God, because in verse 3, the text says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember when we looked at that the last time I was here, that word blessed is a word that means to speak well of or to praise. So Paul right there in verse 3 is praise. He's saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason he's saying that God should be praised, or that we should bless God, is because of what? The spiritual blessings. He's saying that God has given us all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. He's saying that God has blessed us with in Christ Jesus. And so that is Paul's reason for even bringing up this topic of spiritual blessings. He's bringing the topic of spiritual blessings so that it will bring you and I to our knees and praise God, that we will look at the spiritual blessings that we have in God and say these same words that Paul is saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is here calling us to praise. That's the object. That's how we got here. And so if you remember also that there's a difference between temporal blessings and spiritual blessings, right? Your temporal blessings may be your more tangible things. It's the chair, it's the house, it's the car, it's money, it's a job, it's whatever that's generally physical. And your spiritual blessings are more those things that are intangible, things you can't touch, things that we looked at last week, like the heavenly strength that God gives us to endure, or the courage to go when things are just looking dark and gloomy. Those are all spiritual blessings, the power of God that comes upon us to do tasks that we know that we are not fit for. Those are all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And those are blessings that Paul is showing us, or saying that this is why we should say that God is blessed, that God is good. It's because he has blessed us so in Christ Jesus. Now, if you notice here, at least in verse 3, Paul, he starts off his blessings with the spiritual versus the natural. And I say that because oftentimes when I'm talking to Christians, we'll say that God is good, but we'll often point to some physical thing that he has done, some money he has given us, some car that he has given us. But that is not how Paul goes and starts his letter. Paul starts with the most important, the spiritual blessings. He recognized that is the most important thing. Yes, God gives us so many material things in this world, but the things that we ought to really praise God for and fall on our knees and give him glory for is the spiritual blessings. And as I mentioned, Paul is not giving us an exhaustive list of every spiritual blessing here in his text. No, he's just highlighting a few. So now when you look at verse 4, notice that verse 4, at least in my Bible, the NASB, it starts with just as, right? So he goes in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And verse 4, he goes, just as he chose us. So this tells us that verse 4 is a continuation from verse 3. So Paul is now going into detail in some of these blessings that God has given us, the blessings that should cause us to praise and give him glory. So he's saying just as, or that's another way of saying likewise, or in the same manner, he's saying that just as he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, he's saying in the same manner he has chosen us from the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Now, I meant to say this in the beginning. While our message today will likely be short, we're going to get on some meaty topics. And Just like if you bite a big piece of steak and you start to chew it and swallow it, what's going to happen? You're going to spit it out and regurgitate. So what I'm saying is, I'm just trying to give you just a warning that the things that we discuss today, take them and chew on them throughout the week and really think on those things. Study the scriptures like the Bereans to see if they are so. So I'm just kind of giving you a heads up on some of the topics we'll be hitting. And so one of those topics is the hard sand that we're going to enter into right now, where God says here in verse 4 that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I mean, he chose us out of a bunch and he didn't choose some others. And that is a really hard and problematic verse for some people, because in their mind or understanding, it may not be a loving thing to do. But we're seeing here in the scripture, God says that he chose. This word here is elect. It's another word you will find. He chose and elected those from the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before him. And what you must understand, brother, because of our sinful nature, that is the only way that we will be sanctified and stand righteous and holy before God. It is only by his grace and mercy, by his power and his will actually making us holy and blameless, that we can accomplish such thing. Because you got to look at the words that Paul is using here. What is Paul using? He's using the word holy and blameless. Those are words that equate to perfection. Those are words that equal perfection. And we know that within ourselves there is no perfection in us, but that is God's standard. See, God's standard is always perfection. God's standard is always holy, even from the Old Testament to the New. For example, you can even go back to the Old Testament when it came to offering up sacrifice. Those sacrifices had to be without blemish. They had to be what we would call holy or perfect in a sense. They couldn't have anything lame in them. They had to be holy. Why? Because that is God's standard. His standard is perfection. His standard is perfect righteousness. Which is why we see, as I mentioned earlier, in the book of Malachi, chapter 1. In the book of Malachi, chapter 1, we find the Lord in the book of Malachi rebuking the priest. That whole book of Malachi is to the priest there that were kind of going wayward. And so in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, the Lord begins to rebuke the priesthood. Why? Because they were allowing this. They were allowing blind, lame and sick sacrifices to be presented to the Lord as an offering. So God goes and he rebukes these priests because they're allowing these unperfect, these sacrifices with blemishes all in them. They weren't blameless. They had issues. They were bringing them to present before the Lord. And what does the Lord say about those priests that were doing that in chapter 1 of Malachi? He calls their action not just bad or wrong what they were doing, but he calls their action evil. He says it's evil for you to bring a lame, imperfect sacrifice to me and offer to me as your offering. He calls it evil. And not only does he call it evil, the Lord goes and says that this, he says, you wouldn't even offer this up to your governor. And if you offer this up to your governor, would he even accept your sacrifice? No, they wouldn't. It was a rhetorical question. Like, no, your governor would not accept it. Well, see, what you must understand, my brothers and sisters, you and I, we are those blind, lame, and sick animals. We are full of warts of deception, pride, full of arrogance, self-centeredness. That is who we are in our natural state. We are just like that lame animal trying to go before God. There is nothing holy in us. That is why Romans says, this is a conviction that Romans puts on all of humanity. This is Romans 3, verse 13 to 18. This is what God says about us lame, blemished animals. He says, their throat is an open grave. With tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of alps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the paths of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, those are just some of the blemishes that we have in our fallen, sinful nature. That's not even an exhaustive list of all the things that stop us from being these holy and blameless people before God. I mean, can you imagine this, brother? Can you imagine if we were an animal with all of those blemishes that I just mentioned? Can you imagine if a Levitical priest went and presented an animal like that to the Lord? Can you imagine? What would God do? He would call that action evil. He would say it's wrong. Why? Because I am God, I'm holy, and what comes before me must be without blemish and holy itself. So, using the words of Jeremiah 13:23, where he says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopards his spot? You and I cannot make ourselves fit to be holy and blameless before God. It is only through a work of God's grace and mercy that he chooses you and I and makes us holy and blameless before him through Christ. And that is the spiritual blessing that Paul leads off with here in Ephesians. That is what he leads off with. That is what Paul leads off with to say that this is the thing that ought to bring you praise. It's your sanctification that God has done in you. That's what he's starting off with. It's a big deal. This is why we should say God is good. You know, we often say that in church, God is good, and all the time God is good. And wait, God is good, and all the time, how we say it? Say it again.
God is good.
All the time God is good. There we go. So that's a saying, right, that we hear in church. And Paul has given us reasons to say that God is good. And his reasons is what? It is your sanctification. It is the fact that God has chosen you from the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him. That is something that Paul is showing us that should bring us to praise. That should make you praise God, your selection, your choosing, that you would now be holy and blameless before him. That's a big deal. Now, brothers and sisters, if this is not a big deal to you, and you would prefer that God bless you with the more temporal blessings of a new house and a bank account or a new job or career or better health or even a spouse over the spiritual blessings of sanctification, over being able to stand before God unashamed, holy, and blameless, if you prefer the other things, then I pray that God opens your heart to appraise and value these spiritual treasures that you have in Christ. And if the temporal blessings are truly more important than your position before God right now, your right standing on that day when you stand before God, then I'm afraid, my brothers and sisters, that you may not even know God. If you're more concerned with the temporal more than your right standing before God, then that is maybe an indication that you may not know. But as the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 6:9, we are convinced of better things concerning you. I'm convinced of better things concerning you, that is not the case. But this has to be a big deal to you, my brothers and sisters. Your sanctification, you've been able to stand holy before God, that has to matter more than anything else. This is not a secondary issue. So, my brothers and sisters, we are spiritually blessed through the sanctification that comes through being in Christ. This is amazing. This is something that you should praise God for. But let me show you what's something that's even more amazing about what Paul is saying here in verse 4. What's even more amazing about verse 4 is these words that he says, before the foundation of the world. Talking about going deep, talking about meat. Before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, God chose us in him, in Christ, to be holy and blameless before him. So that means, catch this, understand this. So that means that, guess what? Grace and mercy came to you before God said, let there be light. Before God said, let there be light, grace and mercy came to you. Before the first three chapters of Genesis, grace and mercy came to you. Before God separated dry land from the sea, grace and mercy came to you. Before God separated night from day, grace and mercy came to you. He says that from the foundation of the world, God chose you and him to be holy and blameless before him. Grace came to you when you weren't even you. Mercy came to you when you weren't even you. Before there was an earth, before there was a universe, before there were stars and moons, in the mind of God, it was his plan and his will to choose you to be holy and blameless before him. As one commentator put it about the beauty of this verse, that God's choosing of us in Christ before the foundation of the world means that God always had a view of fallen people in union with their Redeemer. That's what that verse gives way to. That God always had in view the redemption of fallen people with their Redeemer even before the world began. It's not like God was tricked when Adam fell and it's like, whoa, now what do I do now? No. God knows all things. Grace and mercy came to you before the world began. Another way of explaining that grace and mercy, or another term used to describe that grace and mercy, is something that Pastor Brian preached on a few weeks ago, that you and I who are in Christ, we are vessels of mercy. Do you remember that? Vessels of mercy, what Paul described in the book of Romans chapter 9, that there are some people who are vessels of wrath and others who are vessels of mercy. Pastor Brian just preached on it like 2 or 3 weeks ago. He did a great job in doing that. Well, you remember Pharaoh was considered to be a vessel of wrath. God raised Pharaoh up for the specific purpose of demonstrating his power and his wrath. That's the whole purpose, that Pharaoh was raised up from a little child. That's what the scripture says. He was raised up to be a vessel of wrath so God could glorify his name by showing the power of his wrath. Pharaoh's raised up. And you and I who call on the name of Christ, you and I, we are vessels of mercy because God in his grace and mercy has chose us before the foundation of the world that we would stand holy and blameless before him. Do you ever wonder why God, why he spared you in the midst of your sin when you were living in your most foulest ways? Do you ever wonder why God did not allow you to die in the midst of your sin? Do you ever wonder why the fornication that you were engaged in, or you could have caught a disease and it could have taken your life, but that didn't happen? Or do you ever wonder why the alcoholism that you drunk, you could have died from alcohol poison? Do you ever wonder why the drugs that you were engaged in, or the fights you were in, all the sinful things that we did outside of Christ, not knowing Christ, that God still allowed you to breathe so that you can go and hear his gospel and be saved, so that you can go and then begin to walk into this destiny that he has chosen for you from the foundation of the world? That's called grace and mercy, brothers and sisters. You know there's so many people who are in your exact circumstance and they're not even breathing right now, but God spared you, but God had grace and mercy upon you. This is good news, brothers and sisters. Do you realize that the moment that you came to Christ by confessing your sins and repenting of your sins and looking to Christ alone for right standing with God, at that moment you were completely cleansed of your sin and your right standing for God is holiness and unblemished? That's the gospel. See, my brothers and sisters, you have no spot or no wrinkle in you right now because you are in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, there is no spot or there is no wrinkled. See, that is why we are sanctified right now. That is the already of our sanctification. Right now, because you are in Christ Jesus, because he is holy, and because he is blameless, and you are in him, you are holy, and you are blameless before the Father. That is your right now sanctification. And that is enough, and that should make you say what Paul says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That blessing, that spiritual blessing should make you praise and say that. Because of right now, before God, in the sight of God, because of Jesus, you are holy and blameless. The writer of Hebrews puts it like this in Hebrews 10:10. He says this, by this will, God's will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. I love this part. Once for all. Hebrews 10:10. Once for all. I like how the NLT reads in this verse. It says, for God's will, this is Hebrews 10:10, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. So it is through Christ. God has accomplished his will of making you holy and blameless, that which he has chosen from the foundation of the world. That is our already sanctification. That is what God has already done right now. Now to the not yet of our sanctification. Because some of you are, the reason that some of us find it hard to embrace this blessing of the sanctification that we have positionally before God. And let me say positionally, I know that's theological terms, but that means that your position right now, not your earthly position, but your heavenly spiritual position before God right now is one of holiness, and you are blameless before God because of Jesus. And it's hard for us sometimes to wrap our mind around our spiritual blessing, because we look at what the scripture is saying about my spiritual position right now in Christ, and then we look at our life right now and we say, whoa, but my life right now on this earth needs a whole lot of sanctification. And so it's hard for us to sometimes wrap our minds around these spiritual blessings, because we look at our life and we realize there's so many things wrong with us. I'm not completely sanctified like the scripture says, but we must understand this, my brothers and sisters, you are not yet what you will become. You are not yet what you will become. You are right. Our heavenly spiritual position is not what we see in earth, because our earthly sanctification is something called progressive sanctification, meaning that your sanctification here on earth is a process. Yes, in the moment you accepted Jesus, your spiritual or your positional sanctification was made 100% complete. But as you live in this life, we grow in holiness. You grow in sanctification. That is why you don't have it all right now. That is why we still fall and make mistakes. Why? We are constantly growing each and every day. You who are born again believers in Jesus, every day God is conforming you more and more into the image of his Son. It is a process. That's the part of our sanctification that is not yet. That's what I mean. Part of it's already. There's another part that is in process. That's why there's still habits and things that you are still fighting and striving against to get rid of. Yes, when you came into Christ, there were many things that just dropped immediately. And there are other things that you are now striving against. Why? Because sanctification here, it's a process. You're progressing to that heavenly state that you have already entered into through Christ while you are here on earth. So we're constantly just going and going and learning. And each and every day, my brothers and sisters, you are being conformed into the image of Jesus. That is why the Apostle Paul tells the church in Philippi 1:6 that he is confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, guess what? He will perfect it until the day of Christ. God is going to bring you to that place of full sanctification. You are progressing. You are going. Your trajectory is this heavenly, holy sanctification of unblemishedness. Right now, you are progressing through that. You are learning as you grow in grace, as you grow in mercy. You're becoming more holy and holy each day. Just look at last year from now. Many of you have grown in your spiritual walk. You're much more mature as Christians now. You're much more mature as Christians than when you first started. Why? Because your sanctification process here on earth is progressive. If God wanted, yes, he can make you completely sanctified and holy right now, but that is not God's will. That's not how he's doing it. He's progressively making you holy over time, and he's progressively bringing you to himself. So again, my brothers and sisters, you must realize again that you are not what you will become. You are not what you will become, so don't get discouraged. God is still working in you. God is still sanctifying you. And he's going to bring it to pass. What has already happened in the heavenly realm is going to happen with you. Yes, it is already done in the heavenly realm. But as God allows you to live on this earth, he's bringing you closer and closer to that perfection of looking more and more like Jesus. Now, I want to give you a person in the scriptures who was in this sanctification process. There's a person in the scripture who is explicitly shown that he was in the sanctification process. And that person is the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter. Peter was a person, and I'm talking about Peter, the leader of the early church. Peter was a person in the sanctification process. You know how we can point that out? In Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Do you remember Peter is praying? The Holy Spirit, the Lord gives Peter a vision. He shows Peter foods that Peter thought was forbidding, unclean. He tells him to rise, Peter, slay and eat, right? That's what he tells him in that vision. And then after that, the Lord tells him that there's some people coming to meet him. These people were Gentiles. These people were Cornelius's One was, two were servants, and the other one was one of his soldiers. So these were likely Gentiles. So these Gentiles come to Peter. God is showing Peter that Gentiles are, they can have the gospel too, basically. So Peter goes to Cornelius' house. Peter begins to preach the gospel to these Gentiles. As Peter's preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit just, I love it. The Holy Spirit just interrupts Peter's preaching and just goes and just falls on these Gentiles. And these Gentiles begin to praise God and even speak in tongues. And Paul, Peter later has to go in and advocate for the Gentiles before the church, the one of the first councils of the church, because they heard that Peter was going into the house of Gentiles. So Peter at this point is going and he's advocating for Gentiles to the rest of the church. But what we find, here's the in process part with Peter. But what we find years later in the book of Galatians is what? We find Paul rebuking Peter because Peter is, how about I say it? Peter is showing what we would call in our modern day terms, racism or prejudice against the Gentiles. Some Jews came around. Peter was sitting with the Gentiles, but when the Jews came around, he wanted to act like he couldn't deal with the Gentiles. Even after years later, he was there advocating that the Gentiles are accepted of God. But now, the same guy who God has given this direct revelation that the Gentiles are okay is later down the line over here showing a prejudice and showing the sin of partiality and not wanting to deal with these Gentiles. So you see, just right there in Peter, the leader of the early church, we see a person there still in process, still being sanctified, still not fully sanctified, still having his flesh to deal with. So if it's happening in Peter, you know what's happening in us, that we are still in this process, my brothers and sisters, of sanctification. You are no different from Peter. You and I are still in process. Yes, we are fully accomplished in Christ. Yes, we are holy and sanctified before him right now, before the Father, because of who Jesus is. But as we live here in the flesh, in the DNA, our sanctification is still a process. It's still something that you have to work through. And you know how God actually brings us to this place of sanctification? Oftentimes, he often brings us to this point, this place of sanctification, through the trials that we face in life. I want to show you. Go to James. Go to James. You guys know where I'm going. Hebrew James. Just want to read chapter 2 through 4. I'll start with one since it's such a short verse. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Remember, we talked about that word greetings, right? Remember that? How James right here is using the secular form of greetings versus what Paul would say, grace and peace. But that's a whole other subject. All right, verse 2, he says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Now, this word trials here is not necessarily relating to sin, but it's more talking about affliction and adversity. So he's saying, consider it joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials or various times of adversity or tough things. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let perseverance have its what? Perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So he's saying that this trial is producing in you this patience, and this patience is having this work of producing this endurance with you that's going to help make you complete, that's going to help bring you to the place of sanctification, the place of where God has called you, where you already are in the heavenly places. This trial is going to help move you closer to that. And so that's why we have to look at our trials a little bit different, because our trials often help sanctify us. I can give you a perfect example of that in my own life. When I worked for this company, right? I worked for a company and the dealings were really bad. I mean, there was shady stuff going on. There was lying. There was stealing. And this is me. I'm a follower of Christ. And just being in that environment, I learned to just love honesty and integrity. I was in a tough situation where my faith was being tested. I mean, I had to literally put my faith on the line to say that I'm not doing something to my boss because he wanted me to do something wrong. And it was a tough time going through this. My wife would know the times I came home so frustrated. But when I left that job, guess what? I left holier, if that's even a word, than I started. Why? Because that sanctification process that God put me through there, where again, where I learned the importance of honesty, where I learned the importance of integrity, what I learned the importance of being truthful, God actually grew me and made me holier through the trial that I actually went through. And so that's the same thing with our trials. Look at your trials. They have made you better. You are stronger now. You are trusting in God more. Your faith is even stronger. There's traits that are of God that are now in you because you went through that trial. If it wasn't for that trial, that thing that you went to, you wouldn't be the person that you are today. So praise God for the sanctification that goes through the trials that makes us complete and makes us stronger and brings us closer to that place of being conformed into the image of Christ. So trials, they do that. Now, I just want to give you a few, told you it would be short, I just want to give you a few applications here to this. And the first one is, I guess it's not really an application, but one, when we say praise God, our God is good, and all the time God is good, the thing that should be popping in our minds is what Paul is talking about here. Paul is pointing to the spiritual blessings. Paul is pointing to our sanctification, our right standing, our holiness, that we are blameless before God right now. And he's saying that is a reason why we ought to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as you think about your life, the blessings that God has given you, you have to think on that. You got to think that right now before God, you are accepted. That Satan cannot bring any blame on you. There's no accusation he can bring in you. Why? Because you are in Christ and your sins have been dealt with at the cross. That you now stand holy before God because you are in Christ. That is something that we should rejoice in. That is something that should bring you to praise. So that is just one. If there's any reason to say God is good, we're going to think about our sanctification that has already been completed in Christ Jesus. That's one. The other that this verse teaches, or the application is, it has bearings on our discipleship. And what I mean by that is, since we understand that sanctification is a process, we must understand in that when we're discipling somebody, or even if there's a new babe in Christ here, we cannot expect this person to be instant holiness. You cannot expect a person, if you've been walking with Jesus for 10 years, you cannot expect this newborn believer to model and do all the behavior that you have. Yes, he is completely sanctified in Jesus as he stands before God right now because his faith is in Christ, but it is a process. So this teaches that we should have some patience, my brothers and sisters. Have patience with babes in Christ. Have patience with the people you are discipling, understanding that it is a process and it's not instant. They must grow, and we have to have patience and allow them to grow and not judge and condemn. How many times have we seen people being kicked out of the church because, we didn't like the way she was dressing. We talked about the girl, her dress was too short. Oh, his pants was sagging. Oh, his shirt was like this. Please give this brother or sister time to grow in sanctification like you have, right? So it teaches us we have to grow in our sanctification. We have to show patience. And the last one that this verse gives us is, if God is pleased with us, if we are holy and blameless before God, then the opinion of others shouldn't have that much weight on us. If God has chosen you from the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him, why are we so concerned about the opinions and thoughts of others? If God has already said you are accepted of me because of my son Jesus, if the creator of the universe said that you are holy and blameless before me because you are in my son, then why do we care about what everybody else says about us? Why do we put so much stock? Why are we not more concerned about what God thinks of us? So we got to examine ourselves there. Understand that you are holy and accepted before God because of Christ. That is your standing right now. And he's going to bring you to full sanctification, but it is a process. So brother and sister, don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel when you say, I'm trying and I'm falling. Keep standing in the fight. Keep standing on your knees. Keep resisting against sin. The Holy Spirit is going to bring you through. You're going to reach that place of ultimate sanctification. If we remain clinging to the vine, cling to the vine. So brothers and sisters, we're going to end there. I told you it was a short. And now going forward, we're going to just pray as a church. We're going to pray verses 1 through 4. and Oleg and Emil, since you guys know the drill and the routine, I'm expecting to definitely hear you guys loud and clear when we pray. Let me get here, back to Ephesians. And what we'll do is I'll read verses 1 through 4. And what we'll do, somebody will pray, then somebody else can go. You'll just look at the verse, and whatever God is bringing to your heart about this verse that speaks, then we pray. So I think you'll understand it. I know I'm just going to call on Oleg and Emil. I know because you guys have done this before and others may not have. Just so you guys could follow their example of what it means to pray through the scriptures. And so I'll pray first, and then if these two brothers can pray, and if somebody else, this is open for everybody. Can you tap that brother right there, please? Hey. All right. So let us pray here. Oh, I'm going to read it first, and then we'll pray. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Stop right there. Heavenly Father, Lord God, God, as you chose the Apostle Paul, Lord God, and given him this heavenly calling to go be your witness, to be a sent one, to share your truth, God, I know that you have placed a calling on my life as well. And God, help me to stay faithful to this calling, God, that you have given me to preach your word, to disciple others, to share your truth, to live for you in this world, Lord God. And God, I thank you, Lord God, that you have made me and each person in here a saint, Lord God, just like the Christians in Ephesus. You have made us your holy ones. We are not holy within ourselves, God, and we thank you for calling us and choosing us to be holy before you, to just be vessels and used by you, God. We thank you that we can be used by you, loved by you. And God, help us to stay faithful in you, Lord God. Faithful as these saints in Ephesus, God, to stay faithful to you here in America, God, where all the comfort is around us, God, where there's so much temptation, Lord God, to make us go other ways and to not seek you, Lord God. Help us to remain faithful in you, Lord. Faithful to your word, faithful to your truth, faithful to follow you in all of our ways, God. Faithful to love as you love, God. Faithful to show compassion as you have, God. To be meek and long-suffering, God, just as you have. Faithful to your truth, God. Even if persecution shall arise, Lord God, help us to remain faithful, Lord. By your spirit, God, quicken us, Lord God. In those moments, Lord, where we want to turn and run and not stay faithful, Lord God, help us in that manner. And God, may your grace and peace remain on our heart, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, help us to grow in your grace, Lord God. And oh, God, in those moments where our peace seems broken, God, will you restore us, Lord God? Will you build us back up through your grace with your peace that we may give you the glory, Lord God? Oh, God, you're mighty. We thank you for this word that we get to read, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Bless your name, Lord God. Oh God, there's so many reasons to bless you, Father. Thank you for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. God, help me to appraise it properly, Lord, that I give you the glory and honor that you deserve for what you've already done through Christ. All of these blessings, Lord God, you've done it. To make me to stand holy and blameless before you, God. I know that there is nothing in me. I have no power in myself to unchange me, to wash off the sins and the warts and the dirt, God. It was only by your choosing, God. We thank you for your grace. And praise you, Lord.